Okay, welcome everybody, and we're into running the race, part five. You getting tired yet? But the subtitle today is, what is the life of the gospel of the glory of Christ? And this is going to be one of the most central subjects that we can cover in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. And I'd like to welcome everybody on board, wherever you are in the world, parts of the States, Oregon, Missouri, all these other places, and different places in Europe as well. Welcome on board, and for these guests that are on, welcome wherever you're from. And the last time we were together now, we started to see the critical nature of us knowing what the future holds for the faithful redeemed. Remember, we looked at that in Ephesians. Faithful redeemed. And we saw the revelation of Scripture that our hope to come is clearly depicted in the Scripture, right? And we'll quickly review where we saw this. Ephesians 1:17 in your notes. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In the what? In the knowledge of him. So people are going to have to become knowledgeable. This is talking to the faithful redeemed, those who are striving to understand the Scriptures, striving to understand the knowledge of him. Verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may what? Know. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. That's what we're going to get into today. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? So that's what we saw last week, and we're going to move into a further understanding of it this week. So we started to see that in order for us as God's faithful redeemed, in order for us to endure the likely events ahead of us, we're going to have to look not on the seen, yeah, but the unseen, yeah. So we're going to have to start to look at the unseen if we're going to endure. So the question we have to be asking is, how the heck do I look on something that's unseen? Yeah? Well, we have to go into the Scriptures and see from the holy revelation of our God in the Scriptures, and from the window of Scripture, we will see what is coming up in the future, which right now is unseen. But it's to the point that we see this unseen, it's to the point that we're going to endure what is seen. Yeah, again, the afflictions that are so likely to come up in all of our lives. And we're going to see what's ahead today to what God has revealed us to us in the Scripture. We're going to see that endurance, our ability to endure, is determined by us understanding and looking at the unseen. So there's a direct correlation between seeing the unseen and our endurance getting through what is seen. Yeah, that is critically important that we see that today. And that's my objective today in sharing the Scripture with you, because the subtitle, as I said, is what is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ? And it's not going to be me telling you what it is. Is we're going to go and read the Scripture. Yeah, we're going to read the Scripture, and we're going to get through quite a few Scriptures that are going to clarify for us what it is. What is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ? So we see that if someone is not looking at the Scripture, yeah, and is not focused on what is unseen. Did you hear that? Focus on what is unseen. They will not endure. You and I will not endure. If we're totally looking at what's seen and not what's unseen, we will not endure. Yeah? And I pray none of us are in that category. But I know some of us probably are. Yeah? Some of us probably are. So out of all the people listening to this right now, yeah, some are in all probability not going to endure. That includes me, by the way. Yeah? In all probability, some people listening to this are not going to endure. Yeah? Why? Because they're not looking at the unseen. They're only looking at what's seen. And to the point you and I look at what's unseen, to the percentage of our time that's looked at, that we're looking at the unseen, is going to determine if we endure or not. Jesus Christ said over 2,000 years ago, that is going to be a few. Why? Because we're all focused so much on what's seen. Yeah? So the unseen is the key to endurance. Do you see that? The unseen is the key to endurance. And we better all see it. Yeah? Because it's got a direct bearing on us enduring until the day. Yeah? So we have to look and understand what is unseen. So if our looking at the unseen, yeah, is an hour on a Sunday morning, the weight of Scripture's against you and I making it. Do you understand? It's against, we ain't going to make it. We are not going to make it. It's tough to hear that, but it's the truth. Yeah? And we'll see that by the end of today, that to endure until the end is a full-time deal. It's not a part-time deal. Yeah? We're going to see that in the life of the apostles as we go through these sections of Scripture. Now, here's a section, and I mentioned this, I think, the last time we were together. Here's an example of some great people in the Scripture that didn't make it. There's a bit of learning here for us. They didn't make it. Despite being part of the greatest leadership support structure that ever hit the planet, they did not make it. And we better find out what it is they did to, in order that they didn't make it, so that we can avoid it. Yeah? Now, here's three guys who didn't make it. Yeah, and I'm quite sure there's more than three, but there's three depicted in the Scripture, the sections we're going to. And as I say, I mentioned them briefly the last time we were together. And 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience. Now look at the next three words. By rejecting this. Okay? I want you to remember that. By rejecting this, by rejecting what? The faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, and you're going to have to read all of this in context. But by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. They sunk. Yeah? Their faith got sunk. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, I think it's significant that he names these people. He names these two guys. He knew them. Paul didn't have a mega church. He didn't need a computer system to keep track. You can read that in Scripture. He knew them first-hand terms, first-name terms. Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. What stage have these guys got to? When the Apostle Paul hands them over to Satan. Now let me ask you something. Were these guys redeemed? Yes. You bet they were redeemed. You bet they were. And the indications are they were the redeemed leadership in the church. Yeah? But just look at where they ended up. Being turned over to Satan by the greatest apostle that ever walked the face of the earth. Why did he do that? Why did he do it? Well, look at verse 5. The aim of our charge is love. It's a little bit of the context. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now remember, this is what they've rejected. Remember, we just read that. This is what they've rejected. Certain persons, by swerving from these. Do you see what they did? They were on it. They were in the faith, they had a good conscience, but they swerved from it. They moved from it, they drifted off it. And we're going to see how they did that. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So were they confident? You bet they were. They were confident, but they were dead wrong. Yeah? But you see what happened? They drifted. How did they drift? Vain discussions. Yeah? Vain discussions. They decided to be teachers of the law without understanding. Yeah? But look, what's important here, one of the most important things is they were in Paul's circle. Yeah? He knew these guys on first name terms. And yet look at the outcome. They were redeemed and yet they did not make it. 2 Timothy 2:17, and their talk will spread like disease. It'll spread like disease. But look, it's their talk. How important is it that we understand what we're talking about? Yeah? That what we talk about is based on the truth of the Scripture. Yeah? And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus. He gets a second mention. Yeah? And here's the third guy, Philetus. Who have what? Swerved. They've swerved. Yeah? And you've got to read 1 Timothy chapter 1 to understand how they swerved in detail. Yeah? And they've swerved from the truth. So that immediately tells you they had the truth. But they swerved from it. And look at this now. This is really significant. Look at what they said. They're saying that the resurrection has already happened. And they are upsetting the faith of some. They're upsetting the faith of some. Verse 19, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone whose name's the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Right? And as I say, 1 Timothy chapter 1, you've got to read when you get home. But do we understand that when it's taught you go straight to heaven, that teaching does away with the need for any resurrection. Now, do you remember the gangrene? So listening to that talk, is going to lead to you swerving from the faith. If the scriptures are true. But I'm not so concerned about what people think. The scriptures are telling us that when we listen to that, it's going to spread like gangrene, has it? You bet it has. I guarantee you the majority of Christianity today believe you're going to heaven. They're not focused on the resurrection. So when you go straight to heaven, that teaching does away with any need for any resurrection. But you know it also does away with Christ's judgment seat. If you go straight to heaven, you're not getting judged for the good and the bad. You've made it. And it also does away with Christ's earthly coming kingdom, which we're going to see why that is so significant. Because if we don't get this picture of this earthly coming kingdom of the glory of Christ, we will not endure. Why do you think Satan is so committed to us all going to heaven? That's why the significance of believing the dead are dead should never be underestimated in our lives. The dead are dead. The dead are not alive. There is no scripture that teaches the dead are alive. Anytime that's indicated in the scripture, it's either an error of translation or you and I do not understand what we're reading. Because the majority of scripture tell us the dead are dead. That's why we need a resurrection. That's why we need the resurrection. That's why the resurrection has got to be the focal point of our lives, because it issues in the glory of Christ. We're going to see that today. So these guys in Paul's fellowship did not make it. Did you hear? They're in Paul's fellowship. The Apostle Paul, the greatest man of God that ever walked, one of the greatest men of God that ever walked the face of the earth. They did not make it. And we saw why. So they're involved in the greatest church that ever came together. If you're looking for a good church, when you landed on the Apostle Paul's, that was it. I made it. I'm in the greatest church, and yet what? They didn't make it. They're rubbing shoulders on a daily basis with a man that could say this, do what I do and the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. That is fantastic. Isn't it? Wouldn't you love to be in that fellowship? Wouldn't you love to be in that church? They didn't make it. They didn't make it. That should send up such a warning sign for every one of us. Why did they not make it? They taught the resurrection had already happened. But did you see also the impact it had? It spread like gangrene, like a disease through the church. So you and I turning up for an hour, flipping open our Bibles, filing our notes, afterwards, and maybe looking at them later, we're pulling the wool over our eyes, guys, if we think we're going to make it by doing that. You clicking on your mouse for an hour on the internet to listen to this, you ain't going to make it. You are not going to make it. The cry of scripture is, you and I will not make it. Did you hear that? Yes. And my objective in my life is to make it. My objective in teaching from here is that you make it. But you ain't going to make it without any effort. Do you know why I know that? Jesus Christ said it. Jesus Christ said it. You will have to strive. I will have to strive in order to make it. This is not a done deal. Far from it. So get ready for some striving. Get ready for some agony if you're going to make it. Because it's an illusion, to think otherwise. A total illusion to think otherwise. And we're going to see it today how much of an illusion Christianity, for the most part, is under. From the scriptures. Now remember, Jesus told us this over 2,000 years ago. The message still hasn't got through for the majority. He said it would be few, didn't he? He said it would be few.
that won't make it.
So let me ask you. Let me ask all of us. What are we doing today? What are we doing today to build this root system of Jesus Christ, the truth of the kingdom, into our lives? If it's a part-time deal, you ain't going to make it. You have got to be in the scriptures on a daily basis to make this. Now remember, we just looked at three guys who didn't make it in the greatest church probably that ever was on the face of the earth, and they didn't make it. So we better be doing more than turning up for an hour, yeah, in all of our lives, or, you know, as I say, clicking the mouse for an hour, put the feet up, get the coffee out, yeah. Believe me, when that, we're going to see it today, when that affliction hits, you and I will be history. We really will. So my exhortation to you today is, we've got to get into the scriptures. Why? Because the scriptures reveal the unseen. And it's this unseen that's going to help us and then make sure that we endure until the end. So let's quickly look at some verses in 1 Corinthians 10. We've been in 1 Corinthians 10 in a previous series, but 1 Corinthians 10:1. For I want you to know, brothers. Remember Ephesians. He wants us to know. There's another thing he wants us to know. Yeah? He wants us to know. God here now goes on to warn us about what happens to his redeemed. And this is specifically talking about the children of Israel. But it's set here as an example so that we don't do the same thing. Verse 5. Nevertheless. Now this is in reference to their all involvement. If you read the context. They all crossed the Red Sea. All this stuff. Everybody was involved. The children of Israel were all involved. Yeah. And with most of them, God was not pleased. So their involvement was not the issue. Do you see that? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Yeah? So 1 Corinthians 10 and the context of that is written so that as an example to us of not desiring evil as they did. Is that available? Absolutely available to desire evil as they did and fall in your and mine wilderness. Yeah? Now, in this whole section, God goes on to use the word not in a really significant way. You can read through the context later. But verse 12, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands lest, take heed, lest he fall. Did you read that? What does that tell us? It tells us that we can think in our minds we're standing and yet have a real threat of falling if we desire evil as they did. But you think in your mind that you're standing. Do you see that? So firstly, there are things for us not to do in that section. We've got to read these and understand them. And secondly, we're to watch out that we don't think we're standing when in fact we may be falling. Yeah? That's so, so important. So falling is a definite option, isn't it? In the scriptures, falling is a definite option. So we've got to get into the scriptures and understand what it is, what it's going to take for each of us not to fall. Yeah. And remember we covered recently, the biggest deceit of Satan is so often getting people into thinking they're on the correct course when they're heading for oblivion. Yeah. Because the one thing you won't do if you think you're on the right course is adjust the course in any way whatsoever. Yeah. And that's what he does so much in the religious circles of this world. So we have to be on guard. Don't we? We have to be on guard for that happening in all of our lives. Yeah. Now last week we saw how Satan blinds the minds and the eyes of the redeemed. Do you remember that? The last time we were together. He blinds the eyes of the redeemed. Not the outsiders. We're not talking about the outsiders. We're talking about those who are redeemed. Those who think they're standing when they're actually on the course of falling. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Now, this section here deals with the title of today's sharing, yeah? So there's a bit of a clue that we're going to hang about in this section for a while, yeah? Because in order to understand the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is coming up in this next section we're going to read, we are going to have to understand the context with which that's said. Because we have got to milk the context of this section to understand what that's talking about, yeah? We don't just get our concordance out and look for glory in the Bible and try and figure it out. We've got to do it in the context of which Paul, by revelation, remember, has used it in 2 Corinthians 4 here. Yeah? And that's what we're going to do today. 2 Corinthians 4:3, and even if our gospel is veiled. Now, what is the gospel? We know it's the Christ's coming kingdom. It's the good news of his coming kingdom here on earth. But if even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. And we've been through this before. The perishing are those who are the redeemed. They're alive, but they're perishing. Jesus Christ came to save those who are perishing. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those sheep wandering off. Remember that. Verse 4. In their case, in the case of the perishing, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And again, we often superimpose that on those outside the church. It's talking about the redeemed. We're going to see that today in the context. Because the last time we were together, I asked you to read the context of this section. And I can almost guarantee most of us didn't. Yeah? So we're going to do it today. So, the mind of the unbelievers. What? To keep them from seeing. To keep them from seeing, and we already know what he wants to blind them from. It's from seeing the unseen. Yeah? But it sounds like a contradiction, that, doesn't it? He wants to keep them from seeing the unseen. Remember that. So what does he want to keep them from seeing? Look at the next section. The light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. There's his full-time job. To stop the redeemed seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We have got to allow the scriptures now to define that for us. Yeah? So I never want us to forget this. Satan's full-time job is to blind the redeemed from the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. Did you get that? So what are we going to make sure that we're not blinded from? Exactly that. Exactly that. And if you haven't figured it out yet, that's unseen. Yeah? That's unseen. Hasn't turned up yet, but we're going to see some of it today. So we're going to look at this glory of Christ, and we're going to see what this glory of Christ actually refers to. Yeah? So we're going to read the scriptures. Because we get a much clearer picture of this glory of Christ in the kingdom, which is where all the glory of Christ turns up, by the way. Yeah? In the kingdom. When we go to the scriptures and allow the scriptures to show us that. To show us the unseen. Because Christ is glorified in this coming kingdom. But so are his chosen. So are his redeemed glorified in that kingdom. And we're going to see it. And we saw the last time we were together that the kingdom is what? It's the unseen. It's the unseen. And we're to focus on what? The unseen. Yeah. So we've got to keep our focus on this. Do you remember these guys we read about earlier? They were what? Swerving from the truth, spread like gangrene, straight to heaven, no resurrection, no judgment seat, no kingdom. That's where it heads. That's where it heads. That's where that gangrene ends up. Yeah? Because remember 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. Do you see the context of this? Resurrection! Resurrection! And to bring us with you into his presence. Now it's really interesting as we go through these sections in 2 Corinthians that we understand who is being referred to. Do you see that in that section there? Will raise us. Who's us? It's the apostles! Yeah? Because he goes on to say, also with Jesus, and bring us with you. Yeah? Because sometimes we pick up the Bible, we go into kind of auto drive. Yeah? And we think everything that we're reading is specifically talking about us. Well, we're going to see it as we go through 2 Corinthians today, that a large part of it is referring to the apostles, Paul and the apostles. And also referring to certain sections to the church at Corinth. Yeah? So, what's clear as we read the scripture is that Paul's ministry was to the redeemed. And that's something that we've got to be so clear on. This gospel, is not to the unredeemed, or as we now understand it, you know, because the unredeemed is not a phrase used in Scripture. We talk about the outsiders, which is what the terminology of Scripture. So the gospel, yeah, and there's a clue that Jesus Christ came to the redeemed. And we're going to see it today. Paul's ministry is to the redeemed. Yeah. And that is a paradigm shift for every one of us. Because the pressure of life and the pressure of Christendom today is to reach the outsiders. You read the Scripture, God is not interested in the outsiders. Did you hear that? He is not interested in the outsiders. He is only interested in his redeemed. Just watch a bit of Affliction turning up when you start teaching that. Yeah. Go to 2 Timothy 2:10, because I want to deal with this. I want to deal with this, that we understand that the apostles' ministry was to the redeemed. Jesus Christ's ministry was to who? He wasn't looking at anybody else but the redeemed. Those who were wandering away, yeah, and were lost, yeah, were who he was interested in. Paul is no different. You and I should be no different. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, slight deviation here, because I want to handle this, because it's so important that we understand this. Yeah. So we don't waste our time talking to outsiders who don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. We should be firmly focused on the redeemed. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure everything. For who? For the sake of the outsiders? Absolutely not. For the sake of the elect. Paul's focus was on those who God had called, those who God elected. Read Romans 9. Those who God had called to the church, that's who his focus was on. Why? If they're already elect, why is he focusing on them? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So you being redeemed, me being redeemed, does not give us salvation. Do you understand? They may obtain. Now look at the tense may obtain is used. It's the aorist. It's undefined as to the progress or the completion of the action. Do you remember in the last series we were in, will you be disqualified? Why did Paul strive? Because he was obviously redeemed. Yeah? But why did he continue to strive, run the course all the way to the end of his ministry to make sure that he wouldn't be disqualified? Because he was may obtaining. He was may obtaining. He saw so clearly that this obtaining of the salvation was something in the present that was continuing in the present and was completed in the future if he continued faithfully to run that course. Yeah. Aorist, subjunctive, expresses the idea of probable completion of the action of the verb with the possibility of the action of the verb failing to be completed. He could have stopped his course, he could have stopped running in the race, and never received that salvation in the coming kingdom. And bear in mind, this is active. The subject is doing the acting. Yeah? Salvation is not something thrown onto you. The subject is doing the acting, and as we walk and run in the race, as we walk faithfully towards our goal of the coming kingdom, we are reaping up our inheritance in the coming kingdom. Yeah? But do you see that it's to the elect? You clear on that? Yeah? It's to the elect. Paul's ministry was to the elect, right? So when we read Scripture, we have to be aware of who it's referring to. Yeah? So when you and I pick up the Scriptures and we read it, we have to be aware of who it's talking about. Yeah? But what often happens, as I say, we go into like an auto mode and we just pick it up, read it, and, you know, it's all addressed to me. Yeah? We're going to see as we go through these sections just how we're to read the Scriptures and how we're to understand them in light of who they're addressed to. Now, can we do what the apostles did? Can you and I look at the unseen? Absolutely. We can do that. Yeah? And we're going to see it. Chapter 4 is specifically what the apostles did, and it's setting the example for what you and I are to do. Yeah. So today we're going to be focused on 2 Corinthians, as I said, where it states that the reason Paul, yeah, looked at the afflictions that hit his life as light, momentary affliction, yeah, was that he was focused on the unseen and the eternal weight of glory to come. Yeah? That's why he could say, this stuff that's going all around me, yeah, and we read it the last time we were together, yeah, and we're going to see some of it today. Light. Light. Compared to what I've got to look forward to if I keep running in the race. Yeah? And believe me, I make no apology for reading scripture. Yeah? By the way, because as we read the scriptures, we look into the window of the unseen. It's not about you listening to me rambling on about what it means. Yeah? It's what the words that we're going to see today are revealing to us that's so important. It's the unseen, guys. It's the unseen. And to the point that you read the scripture and I read the scripture and God opens our eyes to the scripture is to the point that we see the unseen. Yeah? And that is critical for us. That goal of seeing the unseen should be top of all of our to-do lists. Yeah? So we better be getting into the scriptures daily. Because you floating along because you memorized John 10:10 ain't going to do it. We have to drive the scriptures and we have to see this unseen as so real that nothing will stop us from enduring in the race. Yeah? So today we're going to bring some clarity as to what this is. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Yeah? What it actually is. Because for the many, it's not clear. They have it in their mind so often, it's them getting to heaven. Yeah? Whereas the scriptures don't teach that. Yeah? The scriptures just don't teach it. So getting the correct meaning as to what the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ is, we are going to have to read the wider context of which it's used. Yeah? The wider context. Nothing new there for us, is it? We're going to have to read the context. But it's the context that determines the meaning, not you and I. Yeah? That determines the meaning of this, the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ. Because it's the scriptures that give it its true meaning. Yeah? Now I'm hoping that this will instill in all of us, you know, the importance of reading the scripture. The importance of reading the scripture should never be diluted in your mind. Look at Exodus 24:7. Then he took the book of the covenant and what? Read! Read! It in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be what? Obedient. Did you see that? Reading, hearing, doing, obedience. Got that in your notes?
Yes.
Just in case you miss it. Yeah, Ephesians 3:3. Ephesians 3:3, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I have written briefly, hold on. When you read this, when you what? When you read this, you then can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. What if you don't? You're not going to perceive the truth and insight of the mystery of Christ. Yeah? So it's critical for us to get our heads into the scriptures. So back to the wider context now, so we can read and understand what God is referring to when he declares the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Because seeing this clearly is going to determine our endurance in the race. Do you understand that? To the point that we see this unseen event is to the point that we're going to endure. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 1:1, and we're going to start reading. You ready? I'm going to rattle through this. But keep your mind active, yeah, as to what's been said. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of what? All comfort. And we're going to see how much comfort comes up. We're also going to see how much suffering comes up. But bear in mind, we're heading towards the verses in question, aren't we? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4, yeah? That's where we're heading. But we're reading the context. So blessed be, where are we? Unto verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Wow. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our suffering, you will also share in our comfort. So do you think comfort is important in this context? It absolutely is. Now bear in mind why we're reading this context. We're looking again, just to remind you, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ is what we're trying to define here through the scripture. Just reading, yeah? Verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Does that sound like a cushy ride to you? Yeah? Does that sound like putting your hand up in the meeting, you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be okay, you've got prosperity, nothing's going to hit your life, God's going to look after you. Guys, the God of peace was with these men. Yeah? And they despaired of life itself. Verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? He's bringing up the resurrection. So no matter what's coming up, guys, he's saying to the church, we've got this fantastic hope that God raises the dead. So even if they kill us, we're going to get raised. Yeah? Look at verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. And he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. What's the context? Been raised from the dead. Yeah. What were they set on? They were set on the hope of God who raises the dead in the resurrection. Yeah. And the glory of that kingdom that resurrection opens up to all of us. Yeah. Verse 11. You also may help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read, yeah? And acknowledge, and I hope you will fully acknowledge. Just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us, that's referring to him and the apostles, as we will boast of you. It's important that we read these us's, these we's, these you's in the right understanding. Yeah. But do you see here Paul talks about them acknowledging what they what? Read. Yeah. Because as we read through this, we can all acknowledge the truth of it, hold our hand up in the meeting and say, oh yeah, that's lovely. And at the same time, make absolutely no changes in our lives whatsoever. Do you understand that? Yeah. It's not what God's looking for. God is looking for the full acknowledgement. Yeah? He's looking for a changed life for all of us. And we read it earlier. So if you and I look at our lives and the actions of our lives and mind are not changing, it may be a reflection that you and I have just acknowledged the truth and not fully acknowledged it. Yeah, and we've got to fully acknowledge it. That's what God's looking for. Now let's turn to chapter 2, verse 12. Yeah, 12. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Isn't that lovely? The fragrance of the knowledge of him. Everywhere. Verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved. Present, passive, participle. And among those who are perishing. Those who are being saved are in the same category of the redeemed as those who are perishing. Yeah, that is not those outside and those who are inside. Because being saved is, again, it's in the present. It's continuous action in the present. Yeah, passive, again, it's the voice represents the subject as acted upon. Yeah, and the participle is generally contemplates action as real or actual. So if we continue to be saved, will we receive salvation in the coming kingdom? Absolutely. That's not past tense. It's not something you did 10 years ago. Yeah, it's in the present. Yeah, and that's so important for us to understand. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are what? Being saved is the power of God. Guess what? Present. Continuous action in the present. Yeah? It's exactly the same tenses as was used in the previous verse. And look at verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Yeah? To save those who believe. Again, save is aorist, undefined as to the progress or the completion of the action. Remember we dealt with that? Paul continued to run his course because he had no indication as to the completion of the action. Yeah? Again, the subject is doing the action. And it implies potential or possibly. Yeah? Why? Why is it not a definite? Because you and I can stop short. You and I can stop short and get disqualified. Yeah? And believe, would you believe, is in the present. Yeah? Continuous action in the present. Yeah? So back to the section we're in, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because again, we're trying to allow the context, aren't we, to define what this light or the gospel or the glory of Christ actually is. So 2 Corinthians 3 is where we're going, and in verse 7. And now watch out. Yeah, glory's coming up. And remember what we're heading fast and furious towards, 2 Corinthians 4:4 section, yeah? Where we're trying to define the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Here's glory starting to turn up now. So do you think there might be a clue as we go through this as to what the definition is coming up? Absolutely. So keep your eyes on the page. Don't space out. Concentrate. Okay? Verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, there's a clue. Moses, the law of Moses, yeah? Came with such, glory. So we're starting to see glory turning up. That the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Now do you see there's a comparison going on here? Yeah? The comparison of the glory under the old covenant and the comparison of the glory under the new covenant. Yeah? Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all. Because of the glory that surpasses it. So there's a glory that surpasses us. That surpasses us? Try and say that. It's easy for you to say that. Yeah? That surpasses Moses' glory. Do you see that? Verse 11. For what was being brought to an end came with glory. Much more will what is permanent, that which remains, have glory. Do you see where the focus is? He's getting the focus off that old covenant glory of Moses, and he's trying to point them to the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You understand? Look at this now. Since we have such a hope. It's a what? It's a hope. Remember the definition of hope? It's an unseen. Yeah? It's an unseen. Do we see the glory right now? No, we don't. But to the point that we see the scriptures, to the point we see the unseen, we're getting a picture of this glory to come. This hope of Christ's light of the gospel of the glory of Christ coming up in the kingdom. But look at this. Let's read verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are what? Very bold. Who's the we? Is that you and I? No, it's not. It's the apostles. That's why they were bold. Because they saw it. That's why you and I have to see it and be just as bold. It's Paul and the apostles. Yeah? Just because we're reading this doesn't mean we're bold. Do you understand? Yeah? He's referring to himself and the apostles. Now let's take that verse number 12. You know, put on a little line through that number 12. And when you read that without the verse number in it, it's really interesting. Since we have a hope of a permanent or remaining glory, we are very bold. See that? Since we have a hope of a permanent or remaining glory, we are very bold. Why can you and I be bold? Because of the unseen, guys. Because of the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ coming up in the kingdom. We can be very bold. Verse 13, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about the redeemed of Israel, minds being hardened. Yeah? For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ. Christ, the messianic one. Yeah? And you cannot have a messianic one without a kingdom. And you cannot have a kingdom without a messianic one. Yeah? Because only through that messianic one is it taken away. Do you see what's taken away? Yeah, the old covenant. And now we're starting to focus on the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to come. Yes, verse 15. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When you turn to the Messiah, the veil is removed. Why is it removed? Because now you're starting to see the unseen. You're starting to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ coming up in the kingdom. That veil is removed. Yeah? Verse 17. No, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all. Who's the we? The apostles. Yeah. It's not talking about you and I. It's talking about the apostles. And we all, with unveiled face. Why could they say that? Because they had seen it. They were seeing the unseen. Is everybody reading this seeing the unseen? I wish that was the case. Yeah. So we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. They were beholding the glory of the Lord. They were looking at the unseen, that kingdom to come, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to come. That's what they were seeing. And what does it say then? And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Yeah. And the question we should be asking is when? Yeah. Now, we're into chapter 4 now. Yeah. Are you getting a clue as to what this light of the gospel of the glory of Christ actually is talking about? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, ties that which has gone before with us. Therefore, having this ministry. Who has the ministry? The apostles. Yeah? The apostles have this ministry. By the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Who's the we? Paul and the apostles. They did not lose heart because this had been unveiled to them. The gospel, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ was so clear to them. Verse 2. But we have renounced disgraceful. Again, it's Paul and the apostles. We have renounced disgraceful unhandled ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Is that talking about you and I? No, it's not. It's talking about them. But by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel, the good news of the kingdom, is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. That is the redeemed who have that veil over them and they do not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Have you spoken to any recently? You bet you have. But why does it have to be redeemed? Because the gospel's only addressed to the redeemed. Do you understand? This gospel we're reading from is only addressed to the redeemed, yeah, who God calls, and they're the only ones perishing. God does not give any time to the outsiders in the scriptures. The outsiders are not being addressed here. Look at verse 4. In their case, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them, to keep them, to keep them And boy, does he keep them. We saw three of them earlier on, swerving from the truth, teaching no resurrection. Do you think he's keeping the redeemed blind to this? You bet he is, in a huge way. And look, and you can go and look up unbelievers and how it's used in the context of the redeemed right there. But what's he keeping them? He's keeping them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim, who's that? Paul and the apostles, is not ourselves. They weren't boasting about themselves. They weren't proclaiming themselves. But Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus who? The Messiah. As Lord, where? In the coming kingdom. That's the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ that they were proclaiming. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Did you hear that? Again, it's to the redeemed. He said, with ourselves as your servants. Who's the you? It's the redeemed. That's who he was serving, the gospel, the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ to. Sent to the elect, he was sent to the redeemed to reveal this gospel to them. Yeah. And the you refers to the redeemed saints of Corinth. Look at verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. Whose hearts? The apostles. Paul and the apostles. That's who he's talking about. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When do you and I see that? When do you and I see the face of Jesus Christ? It's not watching the Passion. Yeah? Not watching the movie. The face of Jesus Christ turns up in the resurrection. We see him face to face. Yeah? That's got to be our focus. Verse 7. But we. You know who that is now, don't you? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way. Are you afflicted in every way? Not yet. But they were. They were. They go on the list in a minute. But we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested where? In our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Yeah. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Do you see the we and the you there? Yeah? Or the us and the you there. Verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe. And so we also speak. Yeah? Knowing, here's another knowing coming up. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. Who's that talking about? It's the apostles. They were so absolutely certain of the resurrection for their own lives. Raise the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. And look at this. And bring us with you. Do you see that? So he's talking about themselves. He's talking about himself and the apostles. And then he goes on to say, with you, where? Into his presence. When does that happen? At the resurrection. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ turns up in the resurrection, which is the inauguration of his coming kingdom here on earth with his faithful redeemed. What are we to know? We're to know the truth of the resurrection. We're to know the truth of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ in the resurrection. That's what we're to know. That is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Look, and listen up. Watch my lips. If you are not teaching this coming kingdom and the glory of Christ in this coming kingdom, you are not teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? So how many are teaching it then? How many are teaching the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said it would be few. He He said it would be few. Now, boys, a few. It is so few. So when does this happen? According to Daniel 12:2 and according to 1 Corinthians 15, it's at the time of the resurrection. Yeah, a resurrection which inaugurates the coming earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ following the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Yeah, look at verse 15. For it is all for your sake. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the redeemed. It's for your sake. He's not talking to the outsiders. He's talking about the redeemed. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God, so we do not lose heart. That's Paul and the apostles. We do not lose heart. Why? Because they had a clear picture of the unseen. Yeah? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ was alive for these guys. That's why Paul could turn around and say, this stuff that's going on in my life, this beating I'm getting, this drowning, all this stuff, these people trying to destroy my life and chasing me around the countryside, light momentary affliction. Because I've got exactly what I'm going. The glory of Christ is going to be mine if I continue to endure. Wow. Phenomenal. So we do not lose heart. You and I have got to get this light of the gospel of the glory of Christ so alive in our lives that we can turn around and say what the Apostle Paul could say. We do not lose heart. But believe you me, if you're looking at the scene and not looking at this, which is clearly depicted in the scriptures, yeah, and God opens it up to us, when God opens it up to us, we will lose heart. The first thing that comes up in your life that's of any turmoil will take you and I out. Because we're not using any comparison. Do you see that? We're only looking at what's seen. We don't have any comparison as to what's unseen and the magnitude of what's unseen. Therefore, this thing that is seen will take you out big time. And it doesn't have to be very big, by the way. Yeah? It does not have to be very big. Because you've got no weight of glory. You've got no idea what's coming up in the future. Because we're not looking at what is unseen. Yeah? And look at this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self has been renewed every other week. Day by day. Do you see it's today? It's today. It's today. What are we doing today? Put your planner away and work on today. Verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us. Who's the us? Paul and the apostles. Yeah? Because they could see it. An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Well, no matter what you come up with in this life, it pales into insignificance when compared to that fantastic glory to come. Wow. Verse 18, as we look, Paul, the apostles, this is what they were looking at. Not to the things that are seen. So everything turning up in the world, what's that real? Absolutely real. He could look, he could take a shirt off, he could show you the 39 stripes and say, that's real. But not to him. Not to him. So we look not to the things that are seen. Look at this. But the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. Yeah? The things that are seen are transient. But the things that are unseen are what?
Eternal.
Eternal. Now, eternal, we know, is a really bad translation, isn't it? Aeonion. An undetermined period of time. That's the best translation. Forget that word eternal. There's only one eternal, and that's God. No beginning, no end. So whatever's coming up in the future has got a beginning for all of us. So it can't be eternal. But look at this. Why is it so important to look at the unseen? Because it's the kingdom. It's that fantastic glory in the kingdom. And we do not know how long that will last. It's fantastic. So really important we understand who God is referring to when we're reading the scripture. I think I've got that in your notes here. But do you see the affliction is set in contrast to the eternal weight of glory? Do you see that? That's what we've got to do. So whenever we get affliction in our life, whenever we get hardship, and all indications are we will get it. If you haven't already got it, there's more coming up. That's the good news. Yeah? If we live into the beginning of the tribulation that we see in the scripture. Yeah? So affliction is set in contrast to the eternal weight of glory. So whenever affliction turns up, you've got to set that in contrast to the eternal weight of glory. The seen is set in contrast to the unseen. So whatever's turning up in your life, you have got to contrast that with the unseen. Do you understand? It starts to get lighter when you do that. The transient, as we saw, is set in contrast to the eternal. That undetermined period of time coming up in the kingdom. And as I say, we should stop using that word eternal. It just confuses people. Yeah. So in summary then, the resurrection issues in this earthly reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's kingdom to come, which is the inauguration of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. This is the gospel. This is the central theme of all scripture. This is the central theme of Christ's life. Do you think Satan's done a great job? Do you realize what a minority group is teaching this around the world? And I mean the world. Billions of people are not hearing this. They're hearing everything else, and they're hearing, for the most part, they're going to heaven when they die. Yeah? Well, they ain't. The scriptures are really clear on that. So the ministry of the Spirit has even more glory. Yeah? The ministry of righteousness far exceeds in glory. It's fantastic. And much more will what is permanent have glory. There's a fantastic glory to come. So whatever we're going through pales into significance when we compare it to the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those listening and those seated here, Father, and that we can continue to strive, continue to delve into the scriptures on a daily basis and understand the great revelation of your scriptures to us in this day and time. And we thank you for health, strength, for everyone listening, Father. We thank you for your continued love towards us and that you open the eyes of understanding more and more day by day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.